Again, what is prayer? It's communicating to you, Lord, and opening up our hearts to be honest to you. And you are our Savior. It's your grace that keeps us. So help us, Father, to receive all that you have for us, more than what we have now. In Christ's name we say, amen. So the title is called His Presence. So I'm deviating from 2 Timothy to bring out this topical on His presence. What does it mean about His presence? We can minister for the Lord, and I want to explain what that means. And we could minister to the Lord, and I'll explain what that means. But in both cases, we need the Holy Spirit. We need the power of the Holy Spirit. We need the awareness of Him assuring us, coming into His presence. Whether we're working for Him, doing His work, we got to do it with the power of the Holy Spirit. Or whether we're ministering to Him, and I'll explain what that means. But it's all about the Holy Spirit. And somehow we could leave Him out of the picture and just get a lot of good teaching. But really, it says the Holy Spirit is going to guide us and teach us all things. So I want to emphasize a little bit more about practicing receiving from the Holy Spirit what God has for us. And there is a method to it. As I read earlier in Psalm 16:11, in your presence there's fullness of joy. And when you read the Psalms, you got to say, man, this guy David, he had a relationship beyond what I have ever experienced. But I see some small, I guess, pieces of it in my own life. But this guy David was filled with the Holy Spirit. I mean, he was a man of God after God's own heart. But that doesn't mean that God is not after your heart, nor am I not after His heart. But the question is, what is the definition of ministering for the Lord? It is our service for the Lord in serving others. It is our service for the Lord in serving others. Let me give you an example. In Acts chapter 6, verse 1. So now at this time, while the disciples were increasing in number, a complaint arose on the part of the Hellenistic Jews against the native Hebrews. Because their widows, the Hellenistic Jews, the Greek Jews, their widows were being overlooked in the daily serving of food. So the 12 summoned the congregation of the disciples and said, "It is not desirable for us to neglect the word of God in order to serve tables. Therefore, brethren, select from among you 7 men of good reputation, number one, full of the Spirit, number two, and of wisdom, whom we may put in charge of this task, but we will devote ourselves to prayer and the ministry of the word." To bring the word, you got to be filled with the Spirit. You could do it professionally, I suppose, and sometimes people do that. And then there are teachings when you know God is speaking to you because He's speaking through the person. But those who were going to wait on tables, He said, it's not desirable for us to do that. Now, He wasn't putting that down because He said that person must be full of the Holy Spirit to wait on tables, to serve the widows who were getting overlooked and filled with wisdom, He says, and have a good rep, a good reputation. So it's not like, well, anyone could wait on tables. Get this guy over here. He doesn't follow God as much as I think he should, but bring him in anyway. Well, he doesn't believe in the power of the Holy Spirit. Well, bring him in anyway. He could serve tables. Anyone can serve tables, no. Pick 7 men full of the Holy Spirit. So there's a quality that God wants on us. So what is being full with the Holy Spirit? We'll talk about that. But it's no less important than a person who brings the word of God. But there are priorities, he said. We can't get caught up in serving tables. We must devote ourselves to prayer and the word. And that's the job of a pastor. He can do a lot of things, and praise the Lord, I've got some energy left in me, but it's really up to the church, the body of Christ, to do the other work that he can get involved in, but it'll take him away from prayer and from devoting himself to the word of God. And that's a general rule. That's not anything right now that's happening, but it is a general rule. And the general rule is that every job we do, the Bible says, must be done as unto the Lord. Colossians 3:17, whatever you do, in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. So whether you're teaching Sunday school, or you're cleaning house, or you're just greeting people and you're interested in their life and you're loving on them and asking them how their life is, you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And that's very, very, very important. It's not a side job. But there are qualifications that should take place in our own personal life. Whatever we do, do it as unto the Lord. In 1 John chapter 1, verse 6, it reads this way. If we say that we have fellowship with God, with him, and yet we walk in darkness, we lie and we do not practice the truth. I mean, straight up. But if we walk in the light as he himself is the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. So, could it be, just saying, why is it that sometimes we don't want to love on the church people? Could it be we're not having fellowship with God first? Because if you have fellowship with the Lord, you're going to want to have fellowship with his saints, with one another. And the blood of Christ cleanses everyone from sin. But there is a connection here of walking in the light. You know, in that song, King Jesus, or one of the songs before that, I guess, what is it? He stays with you? In one of the lyrics, I know it's perfectly true that he's always going to be with us. But it also mentioned, even sin won't separate us. Ah, not positionally to go to heaven, but it can prevent you from having fellowship with God. So your sin, he says, what separates you is your sin, he says in Isaiah. So if we're walking in sin, if we're walking in darkness, and, you know, it's just how it is, you know, we accept it and God understands it. Well, that's why we don't have fellowship with Jesus, and that's why it'll probably show you won't have fellowship with the saints. They're all connected. So when you see a healthy church that's loving on each other and having fellowship with each other, more than likely it's having fellowship with Jesus first as an individual. But we want to do our service for the Lord. But then there is doing our, what does it mean to minister to the Lord? Acts 13, verse 2. While they were ministering to the Lord and fasting, praying, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. So here they are ministering to the Lord. So what is ministering to the Lord? What were they doing besides praying? They were ministering to the Lord. So what is ministering to the Lord? It's when I try to exhort and say, listen, sing to the Lord. You're ministering to him the words that are scriptural through songs. So you're loving on him. You're opening your heart to him. You're ministering to him. Ministering to the Lord is our worship to the Lord through prayer, which can be expressed in our singing about his greatness, his goodness, his grace, his mercy and love. And in doing so, creates an atmosphere to hear from the Holy Spirit. See, they heard from the Holy Spirit because the atmosphere was there. And I want to explain a little bit about what that means, because if the atmosphere is not there, if the ambiance isn't there, if there's chaos, if there's noise, if there's stuff like that, you're not going to hear from the Lord. So here they were ministering to the Lord in prayer. But I also believe they were practicing Ephesians 5, 18 through 20. Listen to this. Don't get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation or waste, but be filled with the Spirit. And here it goes, verse 19, speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. And listen to this part. singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord. So I believe that's what they were doing when they were gathered together. They were ministering to the Lord, singing and making melody with their hearts to the Lord. There's prayer too, and you could pray with song, as we did, "How Great Thou Art, O God." But that's ministering to the Lord. And when you do that, you're quieting your heart, and the Holy Spirit is able to speak to you. Because we are busy people, and we want to love God. We want to worship God. But His presence is what I want. Wherever I go, whatever I do, I want to hear from the Lord. Say amen if you're with me. I want, and that's available, and that's what He wants too. So I mentioned that the Holy Spirit spoke to them when they were ministering to the Lord, not for the Lord. Remember, for the Lord is doing the work of the Lord. To the Lord is just to Him, your devotional time to Him, your quiet time to the Lord. And in that time that they were doing that, singing, making melody in their hearts to the Lord, speaking psalms to one another, the atmosphere was created. The presence of the Lord, they can hear now what God has to say because they're in tune with the Spirit. They become one with the Spirit of God. What is God saying? Well, you're already there because you're worshiping Him. But the ambiance or the atmosphere is important. Let me give you an example. You call up a great restaurant. And you make a reservation, right? So you're expecting some good food and you're paying a good dollar to go there. And you go there and the maitre d' greets you at the door. And you say, "Hey, I made a reservation for such and such." He said, "Oh, you don't need a reservation. Go in. Go ahead. Sit. Take a seat." You say, "Huh?" You take a seat and you see there's all kinds of noises going on. The waiters are yapping away and one's having a cigarette in the back. And you say, "Man, what kind of atmosphere is this? Do you think you'll enjoy the food there?" "I don't think so. I think you'll be very distracted." The ambiance, the atmosphere really helps produce the taste for food. The atmosphere is not there. I don't think you're going to enjoy that food in that restaurant. And that's how they, I guess, credit some restaurants to being good, bad, or worse, or whatever. You know, how was the service? How did they say, "Well, the food was good, but how was the service?" "Oh, I got cigarette tobacco in my food. I don't know if it was that good." So it's very important to have an atmosphere in order to enjoy the food. And that's how it is with God, too. In order to enjoy what He wants to give you, He's created a table for us to eat of His Spirit, of His Word, when we come to church. Not only in church, but at least in church. I go to a gas station to get gas, and I expect gas. That's what I go there for. I go to church, I expect to hear from God. That's why I go. That's why I first came to church, to hear from God, from the Word of God, from what the Spirit of God is saying. Like you guys, I had no idea. I was Catholic. You don't hear from God. The priest hears from God. You don't hear from God. But it was a retraining of the Spirit teaching me how to hear and put aside all that other stuff. And that's what He wants for each and every one of us. And that's really what you want. And that's what I want. Because in His presence, there's fullness of joy. First Kings, chapter 19, verse 11. We see the story here of Elijah. He just did this great, powerful miracle that God did by causing fire to come down from heaven and suck up the offering that he put out there, though it was surrounded in trenches with gallons of water. It was still God who showed Himself strong in Elijah's behalf of who God is. And let God be your God. If not, you know, follow Baal, he was saying. So after that great victory, Jezebel said, "I'm going to get you." And it tells us he started running. And so now he's days out after running. He's on the mountaintop. And in verse 11 of 1 Kings 19, he says, And he said, go forth. The Lord is speaking to him. And stand upon the mount before the Lord. Now, how he was speaking to him was not through the means that he speaks to him through a still small voice. Doesn't tell us how the Lord spoke to him, but it was a difference. And he said to him, go forth and stand upon the mountain before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind, tornado type, rent the mountains and broke in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after that wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still, small voice. A gentle, peaceful atmosphere of God speaking. Now, God speaks through power. Obviously, he does. To get our attention more than anything, I believe. But to hear from the Lord, he speaks in a still small voice. To get your attention, it might be lightning, might be fire, might be an earthquake, big thing, bam, boom. Boy, what's going on? It's got my attention. But to hear from the Lord, he speaks to us in a still small voice. As he spoke to the apostles when he said, bring aside Saul and Barnabas for me. The Holy Spirit said that when they were ministering to the Lord. And so I want to hear from the Lord every day. Now, I go through the motions. I get that. And they're not bad. It's good to have a routine. That's not bad. But routine can turn into normalcy. And you don't want routine to be a normal way of hearing from the Lord. You want to hear from, and you have to fight for that. That just doesn't come automatically. And I think you can all agree with me with that. But you have to want it, and we'll talk about that in a minute, more than anything before. So he spoke to Elisha with a still small voice, and you know, he said, what are you doing here, Elijah? He said, well, I'm the only prophet left. He said, no, you're not. I got 700 left that didn't bow their knee to Baal. But what caught my eye was that he spoke in the quietness of a breeze, in the quietness of peace. And that's how we hear from the Lord. Quiet your soul. It tells me in Isaiah 40:31, they that wait upon the Lord, wait, shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. They that wait upon the Lord. We in this society, man, we can't wait for anything. It's like yesterday you're supposed to get me my McDonald's hamburger. What's taking you so long? And that's how it is. You go on the internet, you know, what's taking this thing? It's got to boot up. But as it's been said, and this is nothing new, we're a society of instants. We want everything instant. Now. They that wait, it's kind of like we don't do that much. We get very impatient. To wait upon the Lord takes a cultivating of slowing down your heart, your spirit. Shut off the radio. Maybe you need a song to help you get to that place. But you want to hear from the Lord and put off everything and anything and just, Lord, I need to hear from you. And if you wait, God will speak to you through his word, or you'll get a thought and you'll go to the word or write it down. But the goal is, Lord, I want to hear. I want to sense your presence. That's where my joy is. If I don't hear from God, I don't want a God of organization, though there are organized. Things do get organized. They have to be. But I really want to hear what the Lord has to say to you as an individual. You have the power of the Holy Spirit. You and I have this Holy Spirit. You're no different than me. It's not, well, Pastor, he should hear from the Lord. Hey, before I was a pastor, I was hearing from the Lord. How about you? Am I bragging? No. I'm saying, but that's the reason why I wanted to come to him. I didn't want to follow tradition of Catholicism. I didn't want to follow tradition of Protestantism, whatever it is. I want you, God, and you alone. And he wants you, and he wants you alone. And that's the beauty of his love for us. He says in Psalm 46:10, be still and know that I am God. Whoa, can you do that? Be still and know that I am God. Oh, I got a million things running in my head. You know, when you got a big trailer, it takes a long strip for it to slow down because it's got all that weight. It's just not going to stop on a dime. But if you get a small car and it doesn't have all that weight, it could stop a lot quicker. The more weight you carry, the longer it's going to take to slow down and be still. Put aside those weights. Put aside the Martha things. And sit at his feet like Mary. And get refreshed. Be filled. Hear from God. Oh, you could run a lot faster. But if you got a lot of weight on you and you're doing a lot of things and you're just too busy to be still before the Lord, that's a sign that you need to get still. You need to start throwing things overboard to stay afloat. When Jesus was baptized, what descended from heaven upon him? What was it? But what image was it in? A dove. Not a hawk, not a raven, not a seagull, but a dove. It's a sign of peace. God is a God of peace, he says. He is the Prince of Peace. Could have came down with a lightning bolt. But it was peace. The peace of God be upon you. I want peace. And he wants to give it to me because he is the Prince of Peace. Again, in your presence, Lord, there's fullness of joy. Now, the Holy Spirit is always involved because it's he that leads us to repentance first and foremost. But that's not the end of his job. And maybe we sometimes, well, the Holy Spirit, you know, he did his job, he led me to repent. No, the book of Acts, that's why I'm doing it Friday. I know this is what the Lord wants to continue. Someone once said that it's not the book of Acts of the Apostles, but it's the Acts of the Holy Spirit working through the apostles. And it really is the Holy Spirit. He will guide you and lead you into all truth. Jesus, when he was leaving, he said, I'll send you the helper, the comforter, the advocate. And it's about him. I need to focus more on what is the Holy Spirit's job in my life. I need to hear from you because he will take of mine, Jesus said, and he will glorify me. That is the Holy Spirit. You know, you could, and we have at times, grieve the Holy Spirit. You know, when you blow it, you do something wrong. Ah, I shouldn't have said that. Shouldn't have did that. You grieved. If you're a Christian, you have a conscience, and God might call you later on it and say, hey, why did you do that? And then, oh, yeah, why did I do that? That's the Holy Spirit allowing you to grieve, because he doesn't grieve outside of us. He grieves inside of us. So when he grieves, we grieve. We could also quench the Holy Spirit. Let's say, for instance, the apostles were ministering to the Lord in prayer and fasting, and they were singing psalms to one another and encouraging what the Word of God is saying them to do, to humble their loving each other, and then someone comes into that gathering. Yo, man, what's happening? God is good, amen? They could grieve the Spirit. The Spirit isn't moving that way. You might be because maybe God has showed you, but you have to come in and be sensitive. What is God doing? What is God saying? I want to join it. So you can grieve the Spirit. You can quench the Spirit. I meant quench. And there's one other one that Stephen said when he was being martyred. He said, you Pharisees always resist the Holy Spirit. They were resisting and hardening their hearts. They just didn't want to hear it. Don't tell me truth. I don't want to hear truth. I want to go the way I go and do things the way I do it. And that's what they were saying. And there are times when we can get that way too. What is God saying to you, to you, to you, to me? I can resist it. Or I could say, Lord, help me to yield. Because I don't want to do it. I don't like it. But help me to yield. Give me the power to yield. And that's what he wants, really. He wants the dependence on him. Because then when you start sensing his power, you say, wow, this this is the Lord. And it builds your faith and it gets you closer to Him. But if you never admit it, you can't get help. Why is that? Well, it says the law is our tutor to lead us to Christ, the faith in Christ. What does that mean? It means that when God tells me, thou shalt not do this, thou shalt not do this, thou shalt not do this, or, you know, da, 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 just the Ten Commandments, let's say. You finally, if you're really honest with yourself and you're trying to keep it, you realize, I can't do this. I can't be perfect. Well, that's your tutor to now give up and trust in Christ with faith. The law is our tutor to lead us to Christ. But when you have people, you know, self-righteous, no, I'm good. Are you perfect? No, but God understands. No, He doesn't. He's a righteous judge. He's a holy judge. He's given you His Son to get free. But when a person is resisting and self-righteous and, I don't know, they don't think of God, and then God help them, because, I mean, I was that way. I'm sure some of you were too. We thought we were cool. We thought that, you know, dying, don't worry. He'll weigh my good points and my bad points, and if my good outweigh the bad, I'll be in heaven, no. But God is good. Now, how is it that music plays a part in meeting the Lord? Well, with the Elisha at one time, Jehoshaphat was hooking up with Ahab, and I believe it was a king of Edom. It's in the book of Kings. And they were surrounded, and they were with all their armies and their food and their cattle, because you see, it's not like today where you can parachute food in to the troops. They had to bring food. And, you know, they brought cattle to it because they walked for miles and miles to this destination where they would have a war. And there was no water in this situation. And King Ahab said, well, let's call prophet. Now, you remember, King Ahab was from the northern tribe of Israel, which was idolatrous, right? He was a wicked man. His wife was Jezebel. And so when Elisha, the prophet, they called on him, he said, listen, I don't want nothing to do with this Ahab dude. But Jehoshaphat, he was from the southern kingdom. He was a good king. He said, for his sake, I'm going to seek the Lord. And he said, bring me a minstrel, a harp, someone who's going to play. And the Lord spoke to him. Everyone has a technique. Music is important many times to bring you into a calmer spirit, to bring you into the presence of the Lord if you really allow yourself and concentrate. And so the Lord spoke to him, and he said, thus saith the Lord, all of these, dig trenches, and by the morning they're going to be filled with water. And he said, and as for the enemy, he said, I'm going to take care of it. You won't have to do a thing. So the next morning, all the trenches were filled with water. And the enemy seen the water glistening as red. And they said, look, they fought against each other. And that's why that's all blood. Come on, let's go and get the spoil. And when they came, they found a rude awakening. It was a mirage that they seen, and they were destroyed, the enemy, just as the prophet said. But the point I want to make is, how did he hear from God? You can hear from God. And sometimes it takes the quietness. Sometimes it takes a melody in your heart to sing to the Lord. And He'll speak to you. It tells me this in 1 Samuel 16:23, story of King David, but he wasn't king yet. He was still a young boy, just killed Goliath, or that didn't happen yet. Scholars are not sure about the chronological order of that. But it tells us this, that he was ministering. Saul said, I want him, someone who could play music. And it goes this way. So it came about, whenever the evil spirit from God came to Saul, David would take the harp and play it with his hand. And Saul would be refreshed and be well. and the evil spirit would depart from him. Because he was really good at playing? No, he was anointed. When you have an anointed worship leader, it's going to come through in the songs. When you have a worship leader, or when you have a pastor, and I'm not giving myself, but when I'm not seeking the Lord, if I'm seeking the Lord, I know it's the Lord, and I got the confidence to speak it. I sense his anointing. And so Saul, who no longer had the Spirit of God, an evil spirit would be given to him from God, but God used an anointed person to play music, and that evil spirit would go. There's power in music, both negative and positive. You know, you go listen. Hey, I don't know how your life is, but if you're listening to music that brings you into a melancholic spirit, or brings you into thinking bad things, turn that off. It's going to affect you. Oh, no, it don't affect me. Man, you're in denial, sister, brother. Music is powerful. And it's powerful positively, too. If you're listening to some of the songs of God, the worship songs, it can bring you into a mood of wanting God and sensing his presence. So you choose. He doesn't take that choice away from you. So with all said and done, my last point is this. Desire. I think that's what's lacking. What's lacking is desire. We can know a lot about it in our head, but I don't know, Lord. That's okay. If others want it, that's good for them. But we just don't have that fire for it. We don't have that, I want it. I remember hearing this story of this person who came to this monk one day, and they were by a lake. This person said, I want to see God. I want to hear from God. And the monk said to him, look at the water. Get down on your knees and look at the water. And what do you see? I see me. So the monk pushed his head under the water and held it there quite a while. And then he pulled him up. He said, now what do you see? He says, I see God. He was that desperate now to breathe. He was in such a desire to live. He prayed underwater. And he said, that's how much desire you need to see God. You got to want him with all your heart. You got to want him more than you want anything else. And he'll meet you. Pursue love, yet desire earnestly spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy so you can build up the body. Desire earnestly. Pursue love. Hey, I got love. But it also says desire earnestly. You got to want it. Jeremiah 29:13 says, you will seek me, the Lord is speaking, and find me when you search for me with all of your heart. Waiting on the Lord. Well, I waited about 10 minutes and I didn't hear from him. You got to want more than that. You got to wait like Jacob and start wrestling sometime with the angel of the Lord. I won't let go until you bless me. I need to hear you, Lord. You got to want him more. And I'll tell you why in a minute. But it tells me also in Hebrews 11:6 that without faith, you do it by faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. He's a rewarder. And I'm going to close with this last teaching in Luke 24, in verses 13 through 32. And there are four points here that stuck out to me. The story is Jesus is resurrected. It's on the third day. There's two disciples on the road to Emmaus, and he appears to them, but they don't recognize him, and it goes on. But the four points that you could write that I picked up, they were sad, but they were honest. They were sad, and they spoke their heart. We thought that he was going to be the deliverer from Israel. They were sad. They were honest. And the second point is he corrected them to receive correction, but they kept walking with him. He said, oh, you were foolish of heart. You know, he didn't say, well, guys, I guess you didn't get it this time. He called them a fool. But yet they received it and they kept walking. And sometimes that's what God does to us. But will you keep walking with him when he corrects you? And then the third point was that Jesus plays hardball. He plays hard to get. And I'll tell you that in a second. And the last point was, we walk by faith, not by sight. So let's read. Honesty. And behold, two of them were going that very day to a village named Emmaus, which was about 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they were talking with each other about these things which had taken place. Now, while they were talking and discussing, Jesus himself approached and began traveling with them. But their eyes were prevented from recognizing him. And he said to them, what are these words that you are exchanging with each other as you're walking? And they stood still. What? You don't know what's happening? That's pretty much what he said here. And they stood still looking sad. And one of them, named Cleopas, answered and said to him, are you the only one visiting Jerusalem and unaware of the things which have happened here in these days? Come on, get a life. You don't know this? And he said to them, what things? Jesus. As if Jesus doesn't know, right? So what was he doing? He was pulling out of them the honesty of their disappointment because they were misunderstanding the scripture. And that's why he takes them through, beginning with Moses, all through the scriptures to show that he was destined to die. But they first had to be honest. It was like the woman at the well. Go get your husband. Now, he knew. She said, he's not my husband. He said, yeah, I know. You already had seven of them. But he wanted her to speak. Adam, where are you? I know where you are, Adam, but where are you? I want you to come out. See, that's part of fellowshipping. That's part of friendship. It's mutual. It's not just one way, but it's you responding and me responding to what he's saying. So he's bringing out of them their disappointment. And he says, what things? And they said to him the things about Jesus the Nazarene, who was a prophet mighty in deed and word in the sight of God and all the people. And how the chief priests and the rulers delivered him to the sentence of death, and they crucified him. But we were hoping, here was the misunderstanding, we were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel. Indeed, besides all this, it's the third day since these things happened. But also, some of the women among us amazed us when they were at the tomb early in the morning and did not find his body. They came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. So they're telling Jesus the whole story here about these women who went to the tomb and they seen the angel and said, why you look for the living among the dead? He's not here. He's alive. And some of them were with us, went to the tomb and found it just as exactly. Okay, I missed a spot. Okay, and some of those, that would be Peter and John, some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just exactly as the woman also said. But him they did not see. And he said to them, oh, foolish, here's the correction. Oh, foolish men and slow to heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken. Wasn't it not necessary for the Christ to suffer these things and to enter his glory? Then, beginning with Moses and with all the prophets, he explained to them the things concerning himself in all Scripture. Imagine that, Jesus explaining those things that are kind of foggy to us. He said, yeah, that was me. That's me here. That's me there. The Passover lamb, that's me. The blood, that's me. And as they approached the village where they were going, now here is the point. The first point was honesty. They had to be honest about how they were feeling. And that's how you get to hear from the Lord. Lord, you know, I thought this was going to happen, but it didn't happen. And God will say, okay, let me correct you with that. I never said that was going to happen that way, but you kind of like ran with it and made it happen. But they kept walking with the Lord. And then it tells us here in verse 28, and as they approached the village where they were going, underline this, he acted as though he were going farther. He acted. Hard to get. You know, when you're in the world, you play the game hard to get, you know. The person really wants you. If you come too easy, many times people don't value it. But if you got standards and you got personality that stands strong, it's more attractive. But when you're easy peasy, yeah, I got this one, and you abuse it, you don't value it. And so Jesus acted like he was going to keep on walking. He wanted them to call him in. He gave them a free will. And what did they do? But they urged him, saying, stay with us, for it is getting toward evening, and the day is now nearly over. So he went in to stay with them. And when he had reclined at the table with them, he took the bread and blessed it. And breaking it, he began giving it to them. Then their eyes were opened. You see, they were following by faith. They didn't know that was Jesus. But they were hungry for the truth and for the word. And if you're hungry for truth, God sends truth. And all of a sudden, if you're responding to that truth, your eyes get opened. But you have to first walk by faith. You first have to invite him in. Because he wants to have a mutual friendship. How many want someone that really doesn't care about you? You know, you want someone who cares about you, who values you. And that's how God is with our relationship. He's not just there, hey, I'm okay without you guys. And of course he is. But he died for us to love us and for us to be involved with him and for him to speak to us. And sometimes he takes things away a little bit to see if you really want to pursue it, if you really want him. The other day when I was at my spot, I told you the story about this young man by the name of Mar. My car was parked next to these potty sand, whatever you call those things, you know. And he came with his big truck, backed it up, and he's sucking out the poison, the toilet and everything. It's a nasty job. And for me, being right parked next to it, I see him, and I'm reading the Bible, and I felt in my spirit, still small voice, speak to him. God came for the humble. It's the humble that really want to hear it. And I said, well, he can't get no humbler than this. So I opened my window, and I talked to him. I forget how it all went down. But he was so attentive. I got out of the car. We started talking. He was Catholic. He loved God, though, and he wasn't born again. And I just shared, to make a long story short here, the good news of Christ. And I said, you know, you can accept Christ now. He said, I want to. And he prayed right there on the spot. Now, I don't see much harvesting like that. And I've been around the block a few times. But this was like, this was for the pickings. And it was God. How? Why? Any glory to me? No, but I'm so glad that I was obedient to that still small voice. And I gave him a book of John, little one, and some other literature. And he was so thankful, so grateful. And he says, okay, I hope to see you again. So now a month has passed. And I park it, I go to park at the same place, but someone was there already. And the potty son, the potty, whatever you call those things, what do you call those things? What is it? Porta potty. Okay. Stand up John. That's what it was. So that was crushed. Car must have hit it or something. So that was on its side, dead. But someone was parked there anyway next to it. I said, okay, so let me go down further. I go down further. And now this is a month later after I speak to him. So all of a sudden I see the truck coming. Big tanker. And he goes right to that spot. I said, well, he won't be able to clean that. And I'm waiting on the Lord. I'm reading. Lord, I want to hear from you. And sometimes I have to persevere and not get distracted, right? But in this case, I said, no. I need to put down what I'm doing and go talk to this guy again. So I go down, I walk maybe about 50 yards. And he gets out and he says, John! I said, you remember my name? I said, I forgot your name. I remember it was kind of odd. And he said, just call me Mar. I said, okay. And he had some name before that. It was his mother's name and his father's name mixed together. So, okay, Mar. So he remembered my name. And how you doing? And we got to talking again. He said, you know, I love helping people. I love doing things for people. And he go and I go to the Catholic Church and I do that. I said, that's all good. I said, have you ever gone to a church that teaches the Bible? He said, you know, my girlfriend, she brought me to her church. And I love the singing that they do. And the reading of the Bible, I said, that's where you belong. Now, I didn't want to get into, well, you're doing this with her or doing that. I said, but that's where God is telling me to tell you. That's where you need to go. And hear from the Lord through the singing, through the worship, through the reading of the scriptures. And he said, I said, I'm going to give you something. He said, oh, thank you. What you gave me the last time, I lost it. Oh, I left it in the truck, and the person that took the truck after me must have taken it, because when I went back in the truck, it wasn't there. I said, okay, I got something. So I went back, I got him the same thing, the book of John, and I gave it to him. And he said, this time I'm putting it right in my bag. See, sometimes God wants you to be more hungry, more protective of what he has given you. He's given you his word. And sometimes, you know, when you don't have it, you seem to get more hungry for it, and that's good. I believe that's the Lord doing that. He doesn't want people, he wants us to urge him back into our life, and he challenges us by taking away little things sometimes of your power that you had with God. Do you ever miss it? Do you ever feel like, God, where are you in my life? Well, that might be the Holy Spirit that God is just pulling back a little bit so that you could be more desirous. Isn't that the topic? Desire. Desire comes when you can't get, and that shows you true colors of what you really want. So those 4 points, they were sad but honest to tell Jesus. We missed it. Jesus corrected them. They didn't walk away after the correction. Jesus plays hard to get. He pretended like he was going to walk by, but all the while he's hoping they would call him in. And when they called him in, he ate with them, and all of a sudden their eyes were opened. That's a walk of faith. All of a sudden you'll see if you keep walking by faith. And then they said, did not our hearts burn within us when he was sharing the scriptures? What a challenge for us. Has the word of God been something that's collecting dust? Do you bring the word of God to church? Well, I don't need that, Pastor. I'll listen to you. Ooh, you're missing the beauty of making him your own and cherishing the word. And no, this is my Bible. Do you underline it? Well, I got it on an app. Okay, good. But do you underline it? Do you like the page two of the papers? Oh, man, I'll tell you. It's like getting a handwritten letter from your lover or getting a text from your lover. Which do you want? You want the handwritten letter. And you want those lips on there if you're a male. Or perfume on it if you're a male. Or if you're a female, you want his bank account on there. I don't know what you want. But you see, you get more, I believe, if you want more. So I leave you with this. How much do you want of God's presence in your life? I want more, more, more. I have to build the atmosphere. I have to be still and know that He is God. It's okay to work for the Lord as unto the Lord. But you need to be filled with the Spirit too. Otherwise, you get burnt out. You need to hear from Him. But then there's also ministering to the Lord, where it's just you and Him in your devotional time. And you sing songs to Him. You say, Lord, I want to hear from You. And it's there He speaks to you. And I believe that's where God has taken us. I want to stay, I want to get closer. And I believe you do too. So take that and run with it. We're going to be doing the book of Acts starting Friday, and that's an extension to what I believe the Lord is trying to show us, depending on the Holy Spirit. So that's what I'm going to be emphasizing. That's what I'm looking at. That's what I'm hearing from the Lord. It's to cultivate your personal walk with God and through the Holy Spirit. But you and I must desire it. So if you're feeling flat, you're feeling empty, that might be a good sign to say, God, I'm going to pursue it. And you might be like that person. What do you see in that reflection? You see yourself? God doesn't want you to see yourself. He wants you to see Him. So take it from the Word. He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. So as Greg comes up here,